call the Senate Committee on Rules to order today. We just, we don't have any committee measures, right? So I will open, that's true, I will start by opening a public hearing on SJR 2.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Joint Resolution 2 proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution that allows citizens to register to vote no later than the day immediately preceding an election and refers the measure to the ballot at the next general election. There are no amendments associated with this measure. Revenue paperwork indicates that there is no impact associated with this measure, and the fiscal paperwork indicates that the impact is indeterminate at this time.
Okay, we have Senator Monroe here to testify for this. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Rules Committee. Thank you for holding this hearing today. I'm Senator Rod Monroe, District 24. That includes much of sort of mid-Portland and northern Clackamas County. Senate Joint Resolution 2 would require a public vote in the next election, and it attempts to deal with the problem that started about 30 years ago in Senator Farioli's district. I was here when the Rajneeshis came to town. Rajneeshis did some interesting things. They tried to poison the folks in Wasco County, in fact did poison many of them. They took over the city of Antelope and renamed it Rajneeshpuram. And they caused us to change the rules for voting in this state. Prior to that incident, you could register to vote up to and including the day of an election. But because they bust in people and tried to take over the election of the county elections in Wasco County, we felt that it was necessary to put a buffer in there. And so the 20-day rule came into effect with a public vote. The voters of the state decided they didn't want groups like the Rajneeshis trying to take over our governments. And so they put in a 20-day rule that you have to be registered at least 20 days prior to an election. The problem with that is, as a longtime teacher, I started teaching high school in 1965 and taught young people both at the high school and college level and always encouraged them to vote. And I've found that the 20-day rule is an impediment for a lot of especially younger people, not just younger people, but especially younger people, because they tend to be more mobile than older people. They may move from one apartment to another. They may be going to college and move from one dorm room to another. And anytime you change your address, you lose your right to vote. So what happens is many, especially younger people, get up close to an election, get interested in some people that are running, and find out that they're no longer registered. This measure would ask the voters of the state of Oregon to vote on whether or not they would like to allow people to register up to the day before an election. Now you may ask me, why the day before an election? Why not the day of the election like it used to be and like it is the case in many states? I did that to help out the county clerks, because the county clerks told me that having to deal with registering people and holding an election on the same day might be an impediment. So this measure, if the voters approve it, would simply say you can register up to that Monday before the Tuesday election, but you'd have to be registered prior. And that way the county clerks wouldn't be trying to conduct an election and register people at the same time. But it would allow many, especially mobile young people, who maybe forget or weren't aware that with the election coming that they have to re-register every time they move their address. That's the simplicity of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I would be happy to answer questions.
Okay, questions from the panel. How would this interact with motor voter? Because people now get automatically registered to vote unless they opt out. How would this?
Yeah, it wouldn't change motor voter in any way. This simply would, you know, if a person was getting their driver's license and so getting registered through the motor voter, it would still be the day before an election. If you're going down and getting your driver's license the day before an election and you're being registered through motor voter, you could still be registered.
Okay, and so how would that work with the vote by mail system then?
The same way it is currently. You couldn't do vote by mail if you register the day before an election because there's not enough time to get you the ballot. So you'd go, you know, you'd be in the clerk's office or wherever the voting place is, and you'd be able to get your mail ballot at that point, the day before an election, and go ahead and fill it out and turn it in.
Okay, so the communication between DMV and the clerks is that quick. So if somebody registered or got their license on the day before the election, the word would get to the clerk immediately?
I'm not sure how that would work. You know, it could, but if not, then, you know, they would be registered by the normal means of just the county clerk registering. They fill out the voter card, county clerk registers them to vote. Motor voter is automatic, and it's not intended to be a day before kind of thing.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Monroe, it seems to me, I appreciate your intent, but it seems to me that the only way this could work that close to an election would be that people would have to go to the county elections office and register. It's the only way they'd ever get a ballot.
I think that's probably right. Yeah, that's probably right. And that's the way it was before 30 years ago, before the Rajneeshis came, and that's the way it is in about half the states of the Union today, where you can register actually on the actual day of the election.
I guess the perception problem could be, if we're just looking at it this way, is someone could have the impression that they could go online to the Secretary of State or someplace else and register the day before, if this were the law, and expect that they would get a ballot. But that really wouldn't work. You couldn't verify it that close to an election unless you actually went to the county election office.
Yeah, I think that's right.
They're a little busy at that time as well.
Yeah, well, that's why we didn't do it on the election on the day of, but it would be the day prior. And yes, they'd have to go to the elections office, but then they could get a ballot. They could register the day before, and they could get the mail ballot at that time.
Madam Chair.
Arnie first.
Okay.
Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm along the same lines of Senator Beyer. What if I'm a student? Because as a student, I have the right to leave my address as my official address with my parents' house, right? So I don't have to register just because I moved to the dorm.
That's correct.
But I'm just before the election, I realized, oh, shoot, I didn't change my address and I don't have the ballot. It's over at my home someplace. So I ran down to the county clerk and I say, I want to register today because this is my new address. And they give them a ballot. And they've also got a ballot waiting for them at home. How do we make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, it would be up to the county clerk and up to the voter. Voter fraud is something that's a very small problem in terms of numbers.
I absolutely agree with that. I'm just saying that I live in Wasco County, but I'm going to school at the University of Oregon.
Yeah.
My ballot was mailed to my Wasco County address. I didn't get there, so I don't have a ballot. I want to vote.
Yeah.
So I run down to the county clerk in Eugene, not in Wasco County, in Eugene, to change my address and register to vote to get it correct.
You're a student You can choose.
I just made
residence where it was, or to move it to the university.
You can do that now.
I agree that you can do that, but I'm just saying this student decides on the last day, I want to vote today, and I didn't get my ballot from home, so I'm going to go down and register in Eugene. How's that county clerk going to know about it? And they would therefore have two ballots.
The state system, the SOS system has that.
Pardon? If you voted twice,
I agree. You committed a crime. That's absolutely true.
Big time crime.
I agree. A really big time crime.
I would hope nobody would do that.
So would I.
Senator Farrelly.
Madam Chair, thank you, Senator. I appreciate your perspective.
I love it.
I also appreciate the fact that most Oregonians have forgotten that in addition to trying to use chemical biological weapons against the civilian population in Wasco County. It was poisoning a salad bar with salmonella.
I was here.
They also blew the front end off of the district attorney's automobile with an explosive charge and a few other little things, which goes to show you that some people take their politics more seriously than
others. They wined and dined state legislators and flew them over to Antelope, and I refused to go.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the same concerns, whether that's a perception or a reality, are still at work today. And I will tell you, Senator, in my district, in a lot of my district, there would be no problem with registering the five people that might show up at the county courthouse the day of an election. And they would be served cheerfully and efficiently by elected officials who really care about the voter exercise of franchise and the integrity of the system. So now you tell me what happens when 15,000 people show up at Multnomah County Courthouse at 4 p.m. the day before the election and demand to be registered. And, you know, now you have a riot on your hands because legitimately the county commission or the county elections officials simply don't have the resources to respond. And that will be considered a provocation. So I'm just pointing out that in at least six or so of the most populous counties in Oregon, this simply will not logistically work. And I'm hoping that the county elections officials will demonstrate adequately that they need more lead time. They simply can't process a potential volume like that in a day. It's just not possible for them.
And it worked fine before the 1980s. And it's working fine in about half the states that allow registration right up to the day of an election.
Madam Chair, from time to time, things change. If you met yourself in the 1980s today, you wouldn't recognize yourself. You do things, you know, things, society's marched on. People had a different sense of obligation and duty in the 1980s, and now they have a sense of entitlement. And when when 15,000 entitled people show up at a county courthouse demanding the elections officials verify all of the information that may be questionable, as the elections officials are required to do, verify it, and give them no staff and no time, you are looking for a riot. So I understand the philosophical. I don't necessarily argue with it. The logistical will overwhelm the philosophical in this case.
I don't agree.
We may disagree. But I'll tell you what, Madam Chair, respectfully, we may respectfully disagree.
Of course, always respectfully.
Senator Pyre.
Well, I was just going to comment, I think, to Senator Roblin's prior question, I believe the elections official, Steve Trout, told me just recently in an unrelated conversation that they actually can verify it online right
away.
That's
good to know.
Yeah, that is not an issue. In fact, you can, the day of the election, change your registration, as I understand the law. You just can't register if you haven't been registered before.
Yeah, I think this is this would only apply to people who are not already registered, right? Because as I understand it, the law, if
who lost their registration because they moved.
Well, that's
they can do that now.
Yeah, they can already do that.
Okay, you guys take this into the hallway.
Technical question, parliamentary inquiry. Are we going to have someone from elections come up so that at least three of my colleagues who haven't got it right yet, which I know for a fact because I do have it in writing from elections, right?
Good for
but
you.
I would like elections. Totally unrelated to this. It has nothing to do with my agreement or disagreement.
I don't see anybody signed up from elections, but we're going to need an answer.
Actually, there's people gesticulating and waving that they are signed up.
There are some very eager people there.
we do have a letter from the Association of Clerks.
Just in closing, Madam Chair, as a lifelong educator, I've always encouraged young people to vote. When I find something that is disenfranchising many of them, of their own doing perhaps because they moved and didn't re-register, I feel like I have to do something about it because I think society works better and democracy works better when everybody that's eligible has an opportunity to vote.
Thank you very much. We will, are you Rebecca? We'll call Rebecca next. She looks very eager to share information with us.
League of Women Voters.
They can both come.
Let's have a panel.
We won't bite.
Who are you with?
I'm with the League of Women Voters, and actually I would encourage that we make this a discussion.
But who are you talking about coming up with?
The Harney County clerk, who's representing the Oregon Association of
County
Clerks.
Great. Okay. Darren Robinson.
and do you have anyone else?
Frank, we have Frank Martin. Let's just bring them all up.
Yep.
Y'all come.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Having a discussion is directly pertinent to my testimony.
Okay. Give your name first.
Good morning.
And
afternoon.
You don't go real close to the mic because they're very sensitive.
Do or don't?
Don't.
Don't.
Okay.
Thank
you're blowing us out here.
Nice space by that.
Rat.
Technology failed you.
I just had my testimony open on an easy-to-read form. Chair Burdick, committee members, thank you for taking our testimony. I'm here to speak for the League of Women Voters, and we submitted written testimony. You know we're nonpartisan. My choices were to...
Need your name on the record.
Pardon? I'm
need
sorry.
Your name on the record.
Rebecca Gladstone. We support this with comments encouraging further discussion. The League consistently supports improving access to voting. One of our priorities this session is protecting democracy by promoting more representative election system. For decades, we have urged for shortening this pre-election, roughly 3 weeks, voter registration blackout preceding elections. Closing access to voter registration suppresses voting. This bill would improve voting access for Oregonians, including, for instance, our mobile military members or students whose addresses often change right before elections. The League advocates for constitutional amendments with caution. This bill poses a nuts and bolts timeline question subject to practical considerations. The USPS delivery timelines might change, affecting delivery timelines. My county allows 3 days each way. Harney County allows 5 days each way, and that's given good weather, which might be questionable in November. The OCVR, Oregon Centralized Voter Registration Database, needs to be nimble with fast connections and follow-through, linking the DMV, the county clerks, elections. And actually, it works pretty well. My county, and your point is a good one, we are distinguishing here between new voter registrants and those who change address. You can change address up to on election day.
You can get
a new ballot. And to address your question, each ballot has a barcode, and the system is really smart, which isn't to say that it can't make mistakes, but I haven't heard of them. So there would be overriding, this is the ballot we want, use this barcode. And they're all scanned for through the DMV signatures. Where was I? Let's see. Let's see, fiscal impacts for our county clerks. I did talk to state elections, and they issued me their standard forms about fiscal revenue impact of this measure is not assumed to be a big deal. However, I would say it could be. And the word I've been, the word that's right behind here is procrastination. If we get the crowds and Senator Farioli's riots, there's only so much we can do at the last minute. One challenge remains for all of us, increasing awareness for our voters of voting issues and deadlines. One reason our vote-by-mail system has worked so well is that we rolled it in gradually with safeguards. We would advocate for an improvement in voting registration access, recognizing current limitations, with an eye to further improvement in the future. Let's negotiate and discuss narrowing this to a week or two from the current three-week new registration blackout period before elections. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this, and I would be happy to answer questions because I do have firsthand knowledge of the system, too. Not as good as his, but right up there.
Why don't we take the panel, and then we'll open it up for questions. Welcome.
I'm Darren Robinson, Harney County Clerk, representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks. Chair Brodick, Vice Chair Farioli, members of the committee, thanks for having us today. The Clerks Association currently opposes SJR 2. The main reason would be to touch on what Senator Farioli already mentioned. What happened in Antelope, also known as Rajneeshpuram, in 1986 was a big deal. Where they bust in people, homeless people from Portland, California, as far away as New York, in trade for a place to live if they would register and vote in the November election. I had a very real experience with this type of thing being threatened last year in Harney County during a recall election in June. Very serious situation. It's not a hypothetical. It was something that we were generally concerned of. The current Oregon law allows voters, inactive voters, to update their registration up to and on election day anywhere in Oregon if they have moved or changed their address in any way. Each county elections office can issue a ballot for their home county from their own office based on the technology we use today. They can vote that ballot, their own ballot from home, and that specific ballot is sent back to the home county to be tallied, so they can vote their very own ballot wherever they happen to be on election day if they need to. It's just important to remember, I'm kind of going off script here because we've touched on so much of it already. It's important to remember the realities that led to 33 of 36 Oregon County clerks to support the change to the current 21-day cutoff. It was passed by the voters in 86 with overwhelming support. The current 21-day cutoff provides county elections official with true time to confirm the eligibility and still deliver a ballot to the voter. If we eliminated the 21-day cutoff, it would be very difficult for us to confirm eligibility of a voter if they were happen to send in, if they send in a voter registration card to us without being in person, which happens. How would we get that person a voter? We suddenly would have a real messy situation during the most critical time periods right before an election. And yes, there would be a cost associated with that because I don't know how we would prepare for what may happen on election day. Senator Farioli said it best. In rural Oregon, we probably could handle the number of folks that come in. In the larger counties, I just don't know that we could do that or prepare for it. Something big to talk about. The Oregon Association of County Clerks strongly supports voter registration and encourages our citizens, young and old alike, to participate in elections. County clerks want to ensure that Oregon continues to maintain the solid reputation of accurate voter registration rolls and to conduct flawless elections above reproach. Removing the registration deadline would lay a shadow of doubt on the integrity of voter registration as we have it today. The Clerks Association urges retaining the current registration deadline and opposes SJR 2.
Thank you. Mr. Martin.
Senator Burdick, Senator Farioli, members of the committee, thank you for letting me speak. I'm Frank Martin. I'll answer Ferriero's comment and question. I was served as a voter integrity officer in the U.S. Air Force for 19 of my 23 years. Before coming back to Oregon, I am now serving as the Monoma County Republican Party Election Integrity Chair, and I also represent Election Oregon, which was Sandy Perdue's organization of loosely concerned citizens. I oppose this measure because I will just echo the person here from Harney County. The time it takes to verify registration is needed. In Monoma County, there's a lot of people who, to this day, continue to show up at the elections office to get their ballots reissued to them because they lost them, they forgot, they threw it away, or they might have spilled coffee on it, or their dog ate it. And there's no parking around that building. So you actually see a line of people up to election day, probably about two or three blocks down the road, and there's no parking anywhere near the building. If this measure comes into effect and the numbers in Monoma County, that would be 5 times increase. My concern about this whole measure is we need to let our county clerks have time to verify the information, because just because a person says they live in the county, it has to be verified. And most people don't move on that frequent basis. Yes, some students do, but they are going to be sent to the elections office anyway, and that information is going to be checked. And we don't need to put more burden on our election integrity, our elections office people. We have to hire more people to verify increased numbers showing up at the county offices. And I thank you.
Thank you.
Questions
from the panel? Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure that the questions. I just sent all of you and the committee administrator an email. A couple of points for us to consider in this particular arena. The email I just sent, contrary to popular belief from those right-wing conservatives that are considered to be me, there is a Pew study that's out there that says there is problems with the voting system from that arch right-wing conservative group, the Pew Trust, right? So I just sent you all a copy of that. So when we say, as the county clerks are saying, and probably the Secretary of State would say, you know, we have to make sure whatever changes we make that the integrity of the system is preserved. That's the first point. I sent you a copy of that. Second thing I heard that I think I need to correct, and I was looking and had staff bring out an email I sent it to you. I, of course, opened mouth, inserted foot earlier this session, as some of you know. And one of the things that came out of that is the learning example was how the motor voter system actually works at the state level. And contrary to popular belief, and I was looking for the email because I have the tracking mechanism for this, when you go in and do a motor voter re-registration, you go into the DMV, there are like 11 steps that involve human beings doing transactions on the computer before you get to the point that clerk is told he can issue a ballot. And they don't happen overnight. They actually take days upon days upon days, depending on how much money we give the Secretary of State to process it. And it actually walks down through that step. So the motor voter issue is a challenging. The key point that I think I would make, and they're certainly open to comment, is that the testimony I'm hearing is the solution is people move and students move. Trust me, colleagues, I have 6 of them, or 5 now, right? And they all move, and 2 of them are in my basement. If you want to move into your house, let me know. I'll send them out to you. But they move, and the interesting thing in the last election cycle, and oh, by the way, I just want to point out, of those 5, there's only 1 a registered Republican, so let's just point out. And one of them who is not a registered Republican, ballot showed up at our place. That particular individual, who Arnie knows quite well, was in another county in exactly the process of transport on the day, the very day, you know, they took their motor vehicle, we'll call it, with their flag on the back in it and their battery, and drove all the way down to the Deschutes County Courthouse, and of course did all of the things because they were registered elsewhere and they were able to vote. But the solution that was, or the problem that was presented, is students re-registering, individuals who have moved, so on and so forth. And we already have that in place right now.
That's good.
And so, I mean, I've seen all of that work. I'm not saying I'm for or against changing the magical date, but there are some other things to consider in how we approach something like this here. And when I find the other, literally, the number of steps it takes to do motor voter, it's not as automated as we thought, and I think it's miraculous that DMV hasn't gone to one of our committees and asked us for more money at DMV, and the other committee, Madam Chair, and asked for more money, because I would have thought the computer system was much more automated, and it is not.
Senator Boquist, since you've already established it was not a Republican who left their ballot at your house, what did you do with the ballot?
Actually, what we did with the ballot is threw it in the fireplace.
That's what I suspected.
Right. Because we have wood heat and we don't have electric heat. So.
Other questions from the committee? I had a question. This bill would allow registration up until the day before the election. Is there, in terms of the logistics and the workflow in the clerk's offices, would it be possible to shorten it at all? Right now it's 20 days. Would it be possible logistically to shorten it to, say, 14 days?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think there probably is room somewhere to find a date. Without looking throughout, each county is going to be different, clearly, based on mail, for one, and workflow. There probably is room in there somewhere to shorten it, but I don't know what that window is perfectly. We haven't had an opportunity to talk about that completely. You know, a window in Eastern Oregon is probably going to be different for different reasons than a window in Western Multnomah County would be different. So it would be difficult for me to answer that question right off the top of my head.
Did you have a comment on that?
I do. I should let Senator Beyer speak first.
Let's let you respond, and then we'll take your question.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. This goes directly to my concern, because I'm pretty new on in this field, and I don't know. This is in the Oregon Constitution, and I don't understand why it needs to be. I would love to see this within a functionally reasonable time frame improved for students and others and increase our access to voting registration. 14 days could be workable. My question is, if this is in the Oregon Constitution, if for some reason we have a blizzard, somebody gets sick, who knows, for any number of constellations of reasons for which there might be some lapse where they couldn't make the 14 days, does that infer a punitive action? Can we make this reasonable and still move the ball down the field without damaging our clerks?
Senator Beyer.
I just have a question for the county clerk. You kind of answered this, but I want to make sure that I understand it. If somebody shows up on any given day at your office and says, I want to register, what do you have to do? How long does it take you to put them on the election roll?
So they would go on the election roll that day. So if they come in to do a voter registration card, we would take the card. They would put them on the roll. We would send them a voter notification card that is sent to their place of mailing. We have to ensure that they're actually living and receiving mail at that address, which prevents one of the situations that I would have referred to that would have happened in June of last year. I would have known that where it was being mailed to would not have been a legitimate residence.
So that's how you check whether they're at the right address. So if they were to come in, just come into the office during the voting period and say, I want to vote today, can they register and get a ballot right there and vote and turn it in to you?
Senator Beyer, yes. It depends on the time frame. So if they're registering, if it's after the 21-day cutoff, then they're late.
Well, now they can't. But if there wasn't a cutoff.
Today, if they register before that time frame, ballots aren't delivered yet. So that we wouldn't be handing out a ballot. But if they update a registration, they can do that up until an election day. So that we've already affirmed that they're eligible to vote in Oregon because they've been on the rolls before. They were inactive. So they would update their registration with the county that they're in, and then we could hand them the ballot. So we're solving the problem that has been referred to already by allowing them to update.
So what are you verifying?
We're verifying address, frankly. If they're already on the rolls, they're already eligible to vote because they were registered in Oregon, only they're inactive. So what we're concerned about are the new registrations, the new folks, the 15,000 that Senator Farioli referred to that would happen to come
in. Yeah.
You know, Oregon Motor Voter has made the pool of eligible but unregistered relatively small. because most folks are automatically registered now when they go to DMV. So the window are the groups of folks that didn't go to DMV. So we don't have any verification of eligibility or address. Where at DMV, they provided that. So the only, this, the group that they're, we're looking at here are the group of people who didn't go to DMV but are suddenly coming to register on the day before the election.
So the only thing you're really verifying is whether they live at where they say they live.
Mm-hmm. And how do you verify that again?
By sending them a card.
Yes.
By sending them a card.
If it's returned undeliverable, they don't live there.
Then you won't send them a
yes,
ballot.
Yes, right.
Hello.
No
problem.
Sorry, Madam Chair, for that outburst.
Madam Chair, if I might add to that. So we would send them a registration card, so the notification card. So if a ballot goes out and the notification card comes back undeliverable, they're suddenly inactive, then the ballot will come back undeliverable as well.
Okay. All right, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I just
let it go.
What's necessary here is more discussion. Clearly, I wanted to answer the question about why this has been hardwired into the Constitution, and it's the two most powerful motivators in politics: fear and suspicion. And the point is, people were concerned about takeovers, and they had a really good example in Wasco County. We had another example less than a year ago where people moved into campgrounds and motels and temporary makeshift shelters in every conceivable mobile living or temporary shelter you can imagine.
In refuges?
Yes, in refuges. Well, they stayed off the refuge because it had already been an issue. The idea was that they wanted to recall...
The judge.
No. Actually, well, the judge was one target, but also the sheriff. Mm-hmm. So the point is, this isn't theoretical. It's not something from the mythic past. It's just as real as the headlines. And we do ourselves no service when we think we're making things so efficient that we're potentially setting ourselves up. For a horrible outcome because we were imprudent. And the idea that this is a 21-day period gives every elections official in every county who is about to go into, you know, the danger zone of elections a time where they can make sure the rolls are set, the machines are operating, people who are who they say they are, and they have that 21-day period to deal with all the... folks who come to the counter and say, I need to straighten out a question. I've received this letter that says I'm on the inactive roll and I want to be active. They don't just sit around with their hands jammed in their pocket kicking rocks for 21 days. This is a hive of activity, getting the roll finalized. So to complicate that with folks who show up highly motivated, no question. They are going to be highly motivated. And, you know, there are going to be people on the sidewalk with bullhorns. That's how highly motivated they're going to be. I just don't want to see that chaos visited on the elections officials. And that's why it's in the Constitution. So it's not easy to change on somebody's whim. Not that there's a whim involved here. You know, if we have to acknowledge something, Madam Chair. Technology's improved since this thing was put in the Constitution. It may be time for us to revisit that three-week period. But the idea of a time of preparation for one of the most important exercises of our franchise, voting, is not a bad idea. And it is enshrined in the Constitution for that reason.
Can I say one thing?
I think she wanted to speak first.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. Chair Burdick and Senator Farioli, thank you for your comments. I really appreciate them. I would like to bring up another topic that's related to this since we're digging into it right now, and I'm not sure it would come up otherwise, and it pertains to Senator Byers talking about where does the time actually get absorbed. Some of it's for mailing, some of it's for processing. I did hear from my county clerk that they would get feedback every day from DMV during election seasons. I can't
speak to how long those 11 steps take?
13. I just checked. 13 steps.
13 steps. And I don't know, practically speaking, how long that takes, or if they take a back seat to 50 people standing waiting for new driver's licenses. I don't know that part. My question here is, if part of the delay has to do with delivering a postcard so that receipt of the postcard through USPS can be verified, the people we're forgetting about, which may change this discussion, is that you can get you can register to vote if you're homeless as long as you describe the bridge you live under, and you don't get USPS there, but it's simply so they can assign a precinct to you so that you know who your precinct committee person is. And I'm not arguing one side of the fence or another for this, although I would like to keep an eye to decreasing this to maybe 14 days reasonably, but I would love to hear, I would like for this to be considered. How does this fit into this, which should be considered here?
Mr. Martin, you wanted to add
yes,
something?
The one thing I'm hearing in all this discussion is we're talking about changing the rules and how the rules are changed. Election Oregon and the Multnomah County Republicans are concerned about one thing. If the change is done, this billing, the way it's written, doesn't explain anything, and I'd be very scared if we do it outside the Constitution and just have a change to the administrative rules without the people being informed of those changes. That's all I'm very concerned about right now.
Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Andrew. I just want to expand a little bit on the bit of information that was brought forth by our good representative of the League of Women Voters here. Just to expand upon it, that the notion that you could come in and register without an address on the last day of the election, is exactly, is exactly the challenge we face is, you know, we see across the country where they show up with 25 busloads of people at 7:45 in the evening, either to vote or to re-register to vote, so on and so forth. And so, I mean, that time schedule and that time phase sequence, you know, still has to have some validation and how you can go about doing that. And as I pointed out, there are 13 steps, and it's an intriguing thing because for one individual, it actually took almost a month, and then I guess under some magic state law we have, they put it, validated it backwards 3 weeks beforehand. And that boiled down to the issue that I think also comes to the county clerks for those of us in all of Oregon now, with the exception of those living in the city of Portland. I guess that's you, right? You're the only one that's in Portland? Okay. And that is that within the year, the only sort center that is going to be left in the entire state of Oregon for the United States Postal Service is going to be in Portland. So if you're in a city of 80-some thousand metropolitan area of even Medford, not only is your ballot, but your registration card. So if you go to the DMV in Medford and it goes up to the secretary to Salem, right, in the computer that you want to register automatically, that first contact by cards the clerks are talking about going out and so on and so forth starts into a process in which these cards are going from Salem to with communications to Medford and the Postal Service to Portland and Portland back to Medford. And we were in the rural portions of Oregon. We are smacking ourselves in the face. We don't think at some point somebody's going to find a good lawyer and say, I'm being disenfranchised because if I mail my ballot even in Bend, it goes from Bend to Portland back to Bend right now, which is another whole set of problems that we have here in this whole structure. So this is not an easy answer. Even if we want to do it, it's not an easy answer.
I think we can all agree on that one. Okay, other questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will close the public hearing on SJR 2, unless there's somebody else who wants to talk. I see none. So I will close the public hearing, and we will ruminate on this further. So, Council, do we have any more business before the committee?
Madam Chair, our work is complete for the day.
All right. With that, we are adjourned.
Thank you. Complete for the day.
All right. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.